Like to begin the gospel meeting this evening with hymn number 38 on the gospel hymn sheet. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy as I am he claimed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm going to suggest that we stand up to sing this, hymn number 38, and if someone will please start it. Let's ask God's help and blessing. Our blessed God and Father, how thankful we are this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee that He is indeed the Savior of sinners. We thank Thee that throughout this world today He has been presented as such in so many places and in so many ways. And we would pray that wherever the gospel has gone forth this day, that there might be much blessing and fruit. But now our hearts are burdened as this gospel meeting is before us in this room. We think of this being the second consecutive night that it has gone forth here, and we pray that there might be much fruit and blessing. We thank Thee for Thy living Word. We thank Thee for Thy Spirit that works, convicting men of sin and drawing to the Savior. And so we pray that tonight there might be a mighty work, that no one would leave this building lost and in their sins. We pray, too, that the hearts of Thine own might be refreshed and encouraged as we go over once again the sweet story of Jesus and His love. So we look to Thee for help and blessing. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. Amen. I'd also like to sing one verse of another hymn on the hymn sheet, number 24. We know there's a bright and a glorious home, away in the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. But will you be there and I? Just verse 1, and if someone will please start it. We're going to begin this evening by connecting three portions of the Word of God. The first one is in the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And one more portion for now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Well, these might seem like strange portions of Scripture to connect in this way at the beginning of a gospel meeting. And I would just say at the outset that we're going to take these Scriptures and we're going to make some applications. What we're going to bring out of these Scriptures are perhaps not their strict meaning in the context of the chapter in which we find them. But having said that, I want to stress that they are the living Word of God, the Word of God that is living and powerful, and I believe that the applications that we are going to make are in keeping with the rest of Scripture and in connection with the gospel of the grace of God, which we hope, with the Lord's help, to present here this evening. And so I want to encourage you to open your ears to the Word of God, to take in what God has to say, because God has a message for us tonight. Just as He has always had a message down through the ages, God is still speaking. He's speaking from His Word in the power of His Spirit in so many, many ways. And I was impressed the first night that we were together when we had a little hymn sing out in the courtyard, and Brother Dean Rule spoke on some things that we know. And it brought to mind the subject that I have on my heart this evening. Because this evening I want to notice some things that we don't know. We're going to notice some things that we don't know, some things that we can never know, and some things that we should know and can know if there is the proper exercise of soul and desire to learn. You know, this is a day of knowledge. Man thinks he's pretty smart. You know, some of us have had opportunity to travel to other parts of the world and to go to museums and to view some of the ancient ruins of past societies. And you know, when you delve into past societies and how advanced they were, you realize that man really isn't on an upscale, he's on a downscale. And he's on a downscale, he's on the skids pretty fast. I wasn't going to relate this, but I will relate it, and perhaps you will smile, but maybe it will make my point. You know, man often speaks of evolution and how he evolved from some ape-like creature and so on. But you know, I was eating a banana out in the courtyard this afternoon, and I stopped by two brothers, and I said, you know, man thinks he's pretty smart, but I said, just look at the way he eats a banana. You know, when we eat a banana, we peel it from what we think is the top. Actually, if you saw bananas grow in the tropics, as I often do, we peel it from the bottom. Because that part that we think is a handle and we tear off, that is actually the bottom of the banana. The banana on the hand grows up from that. And you know, a monkey will never peel a banana from the end of the banana that you and I do. You know why? Because when you peel a banana from what we think is the top but is really the bottom, you ever notice how often it's stringy? You know, if you peel the banana from the other end, it'll never string. And I only say that to show that man thinks he's pretty smart today, and he thinks he's evolved into something that has great capacity, and certainly God has allowed man to develop many things. And this is a day when the Bible says knowledge is increased. If you want a proof that we're in the last days, just before the Lord Jesus is about to come, just consider that verse in the book of Daniel. Two things there. Knowledge is increased, and they run to and fro throughout the earth. We're on the go like never before. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. And knowledge is on the increase. Not wisdom and understanding. You ever notice that? Not wisdom and understanding, but knowledge. Because they are three very distinct things, and we don't have time to distinguish those three things. But knowledge is increased. And you young people understand this. It just seems like there's reams and reams of knowledge. Reams and reams of writings to go through, to get through a curriculum, and to make sure you're prepared for those examinations that you get at school and university. Anybody in business knows that just to stay afloat in business, there's reams and reams, folders and binders of information, because things are changing so fast in the world in which we live. I watched them on the early flights out of Ottawa. Businessmen who can't even sit on a plane at 6 o'clock in the morning and enjoy a cup of coffee because they have to be on their laptop going over that information, reading through that binder that they're going to get out at their seminar when they land in Toronto or Montreal or Philadelphia, Chicago, wherever they're going. And so knowledge is increased. But you know, there's a lot that man still doesn't know. In all those fields, whether it's the medical field, the technological field, whatever it is, there's still a lot that man doesn't know. And we're going to find from Scripture that there's a lot that man doesn't know as well. And many things that, as I say, we can't know, only known to God. Because, you know, His thoughts are above our thoughts, and His ways are above our ways. If we could understand everything concerning God, and His ways with mankind, His purposes for this planet and so on, why, He wouldn't be God. No, He's above our thoughts. He's infinite, and we're finite, and so we can't enter into many things. And we began here in the book of James with a very, very solemn portion. Because here we find he says, go to now, ye that say, tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And I see it every day. People rushing from city to city. People doing business. Again, you don't just sit at the airport and wait for your plane. No, you're on your BlackBerry. You go to the business lounge. You turn on the internet. You fax. You do all those kinds of things. Everybody's rushing from city to city, trying to buy and sell and get gain. But you know, they're only living for the moment. I've often said this before, but because I travel with the airline so much, I have status with the airline, with what is called Aeroplan. Since Air Canada is my main carrier, they're part of the Star Alliance Air Network, and they have a slogan, live for the moment. Now, I realize that that's only a slogan, an advertising slogan trying to get people to not only fly more, but to fly with Air Canada and their Star Alliance partners so that they can get certain air miles and hopefully over the year they can build up gold or platinum status or something like that. But I often think of that when I bring up their web page to check my account. There it is, live for the moment. Isn't that the spirit of the day in which we live? Everybody's just rushing, but they're only living for the moment. And that's what he says here. He says, they go into cities, they buy and sell and get gain. But he says, wait a minute, we know not what shall be on the morrow. Isn't that searching to think about? Man rushes on with no thought of tomorrow. And you know, many times he gets stopped in his tracks. You know, it's frustrating when there's an hour delay at the airport. It's frustrating when you have to detour for a construction site and you lose an hour in your travel plans. We don't like that in the fast pace in which we live. But God says stop and consider, because we don't know what is going to be on the morrow. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And he tells us here that our life is like a vapor. It only appears for a little time. Recently, I went through the Word of God to notice some of the things that God likens our life to. It's like a weaver's shuttle, just there and back in a moment. It's like a shadow, it says, and many other things. It's like a leaf that fades. And there are quite a number of times that our life is brought before us as something that appears and vanishes very, very quickly. Man's life, it says, is he's born like the sparks upward fly. You ever see sparks from the fire? Well, they fly upward and they're gone in a moment. And here it says it's like a vapor. You ever plug the tea kettle in and watch the vapor as the water boils? Why, it just comes up for a few moments and then it disappears into thin air. God says your life is like that. I've sometimes illustrated it too for the boys and girls in this way. We might be able to say your life is like a cloud that appears for a little time. When I was a boy, I liked to go out on a cloudy day and lie on the grass and watch the clouds as they passed overhead. And perhaps the boys and girls here have done this. You watch those clouds, and often you can pick out forms in those clouds. Maybe you see a cloud and it looks like a man's head, or a cloud over here and it looks like a horse or a dog or something like that. But you know, you watch that cloud for a few moments as it passes overhead and it all breaks up and changes shape, and in a few minutes it's completely gone and another cloud has replaced it. God says your life is just like that. And that's why when we present the gospel, there's an urgency to the message. We never tell people to wait till the end of the message to get saved, because we don't know if this message is going to end in the way that we anticipate. Oh, you might look at your schedule, and you might say, well, this meeting is scheduled to end at 7:30. It probably will end around 7:30. But we're not going to guarantee you at 10 to 7 that there are another 40 minutes to present the gospel message, because the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And so he says your life is a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. I've talked to some very elderly people in my lifetime, some people who have been over 100 years of age, and oh, they'll tell you, like Jacob, that few have been the days of their life. That life seems to go very fast. I never thought I'd be to the point in life where I'd say that of myself. But as I look back over 50 years of life, life has just gone in the blink of an eye. I know sometimes when you're younger, you think you'll never get to certain points in life. You know, I can remember when I wanted to be 13 years of age, I thought it'd be wonderful to be a teenager. Well, I got there and I wasn't satisfied. Oh, if I could only be 16, I could drive a car. And when I got to be 16, I thought if I could only be 21, I'd be of age and my own boss.
And you see how it goes? You get to about 25 and then you want it to slow down a little bit. But you know, it doesn't slow down. It just seems to get faster and faster. And so he says, we ought to say, I want you to notice this, if the Lord will, we shall live, comma. You know, sometimes we read this quickly and we think of this in connection with our activities. And certainly, as believers, we need to say, if the Lord will, we'll go here and there and do that. If the Lord will, we'll leave this building later on this evening, and tomorrow we'll go to our homes or tonight or whatever. But notice there's something before our activities. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. You know, Daniel stood before a man, King Belshazzar, perhaps one of the greatest men of his day. And Daniel said to Belshazzar, he said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. We read in the New Testament, he's the preserver of all men. And again, he giveth life and breath to all things. God is the sustainer of the universe. The Lord Jesus, it says, by him all things subsist. And he gives us breath as we sit here. Have you glorified him? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, it's a very sad thing. We're talking about things we don't know. It's a very sad thing if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, I've known the Lord Jesus by the grace of God as my Savior most of my life. And as I've often said, I wouldn't want to trade places with anyone that isn't a Christian. What I've received in exchange for the forgiveness of my sins is so much more than you could ever anticipate. And then that home above in heaven of which we were singing, we know there's a bright and a glorious home away in the heavens high. I want to tell a little story tonight to illustrate what we're saying. And I realize that some of my brethren in my local area have heard me tell this story on one previous occasion, but I'm going to repeat it. A few months ago, I was in Sandy Bay, St. Vincent. And Sandy Bay, St. Vincent is a beautiful little village on the hillside overlooking the Atlantic Ocean on the windward side of that island. It's in the north of St. Vincent, not the very last village, but one of the very northern villages in St. Vincent. And as I leaned against the railing of a little house there, I listened to a very interesting and